In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of our Sister Christy Edwards Urban. The reading which Stella gave us from the Second Maccabees is a very strong woman of manly virtue in there, as it says there. It's very, very moving how she sees her sons all be mangled before her, and yet that doesn't cause her to pull back, but rather to push on all the more, trusting in God, and even moving him onward, the last and the littlest, to give his all before God and not to turn back now. I preached on that this morning to the Carmelite sisters. If you want to know more about that, listen to what we said there, but focusing on today's gospel. What do we see here? We see here in this man something which is actually good, and then it goes awry. We have the three servants who are there, and they go before their master. They're entrusted with something. Two of them make an amazing return, and so they're blessed in that way, and thanked and given more, and put in charge of great things in the kingdom of the master, and the one hides everything, and even what he has is taken away. He's justly left out of the kingdom, and those who rejected the king are slaughtered at the end. I'm not dealing with that, but I want to focus on that third figure there, the one who was given one talent. What do we see within his life? I want to tell you that he gave himself to bad discernment, and that bad discernment led him to bad action. What do I mean by that? What does it mean to have bad discernment in this way? We have in a lot of ways, lots of choices that are placed before us. Lots of, each day, there are lots of things that we can do or we cannot do. Lots of things which are good or bad or sort of in the middle of some sort of way, and we have to elect to decide to do something at each moment and to know what it is that we're doing in following the will, the right movement of God in all things. And how do we understand that? I put to you that this man was given to wrong discernment. And I'll use St. Ignatius' rules to teach you just a little bit about discernment. The reason why I'm thinking about this is because for yesterday I spent a lot of time on the phone talking with people, not from our parish, but who wanted help with discernment. Want to help with discernment. A lay woman and a priest both needed help in their discernment. And so I turned them back to St. Ignatius in this way. And so I'll help you in dealing with your discernment in this way too. So we see within this man that he was not acting out of good spirit in this. He was influenced by the evil spirit. We see within him what? A fear. He's totally afraid that if he does something wrong with what has been given to him, that's going to go really bad for him. Because his master is not somebody who's kind. Master is very demanding. Master wants a lot. And so he begins to doubt his own ability right there. He begins to see himself as weak in the face of that and doesn't do it. We can see that there's something about this servant that the master sees that there's goodness in him. He doesn't trust him like he does the one who has five. He doesn't trust him like the one who has other than that of three or whatever it was. But he trusts him at least with one. So that shows that there's something worthwhile in them, because he wouldn't give him that just as a test case. He saw that there was something good in him and said he can do something with this one. But he takes it and fears, and then self-handicaps himself by hiding it in a handkerchief and doing nothing with it, hoping just to throw it back at his face in this way, because he's afraid. Let me share with you rule of discernment. This is the fourth rule of discernment. The first ones we don't need to go into. They're very basic. But the fourth rule of discernment is St. Ignatius speaking on spiritual desolation. He's defining it. He says, the fourth rule of spiritual desolation. I call desolation all the contrary to the third rule, which we'll get to that in a second. Just as darkness of the soul, disturbance in it, a movement to things low and earthly, the unquiet and indifferent agitations and temptations, when the soul is moving from want of confidence or lack of confidence, that the soul is without hope, without love, without faith, and when one finds oneself totally lazy and tepid, that they're sad and as if separated from their Creator and Lord. What do we see in this man? We see that he's lost all those things, right? There's no joy. There's no faith. There's no hope. There's no charity that's burning within him. Just an abiding fear overwhelming everything that's within him. And so because of that, he can't make a good decision going forward, because he's totally influenced by the spirit of this world, the spirit which seeks the destruction of his own soul. And so it's only natural that cowering away from the great task that's put before him, the entrusting thing that's there, that he runs in the opposite direction, because he doesn't follow good rules of discernment. What does it mean to be... There are two places, desolation and consolation. We don't see it in the others, but we can assume that they had consolation. He says the third rule is consolation. He says, I call consolation when some interior movement in the person's soul is caused through which the soul comes to be inflamed with the love of its Creator. And when it can, in consequence of that love, no creative thing on the face of the earth in itself, but to entrust itself totally to the Creator. Likewise, that soul shed tears that move it to the Lord, whether out of sorrow for one's sins or out of the passion for the Lord or because of some other thing directly connected to his service and praise of God the Father. I call consolation every increase of hope, every increase of faith, every increase of charity, and all interior joy which calls and affects the heavenly things, attracts one to heavenly things, and to the salvation of one's own soul, giving a calm, a peace, a quietude in its Creator and in its Lord. We see these two movements moving within our soul in various moments. In fact, they can pass, we can spend whole days in desolation, or weeks or months. We can spend whole days or weeks or months, although that's less likely to last that long for weeks and months, in consolation without interruption. But we find in here that one cannot, the fifth rule is this, is that when one is in desolation, you can't make a decision. That's what he says right there. In essence, the fifth rule of desolation, never make a change within your life, but rather be firm and constant in whatever resolutions, whatever determinations that you had in the day preceding or in the moments before that desolating spirit came upon you. And have a determination in which to remain with that, whatever that preceding consolation was. Because as in consolation, it is rather the good spirit that guides and consoles us, so it is in desolation that is the bad, the evil spirit that counsels us. So we are not to choose what rightly it is we are to do. And so that man, he was in that desolating spirit, and so what is the first thought that comes into his mind? I gotta get rid of this thing. It's gonna go really bad for me because I'm nothing. And what happens if I'm not able to make up even the principle of what has been entrusted to me? If I somehow lessen it, it's going to go terrible for me. Better for me just to bury it and hand it back to him, not to endeavor to do anything whatsoever. So afraid was this man. And because of that, he ended up with that in among those who were not with the Lord, not following in the right, not making any sort of return in what God has given. So that's what we should do. Remember that there are movements that go within your soul at different times. Sometimes there's a consolation, anything that leads you to deeper faith, a deeper hope, a deeper charity, an abounding joy that's going in you, a peace that doesn't come from the world, but a peace that abides only in God himself, something that lifts your soul totally to the Lord. That's the time when you can begin to make decisions within your life. If you don't find that you're in a state like that, St. Ignatius says you can't make a decision. You can't change anything. You can't make a new decision on where you're to go, whether it's to buy or sell a house or to go and change a spiritual practice that is going on within your life. But one thing you can do is this, and that's the sixth rule. Give it to you from heart. The sixth rule is that there's one thing that you can do once one is in the spirit of desolation, and that is only to recommit ourselves all the more to our good resolutions that we were already firm in before. To add a slight bit more of prayer to our lives, to add a slight bit more of penance to our lives, only in slight. And therefore dedicate ourselves more to seeking God, that this desolation may pass, and the Lord may restore us to a place of consolation, and then we can make a decision. If this man would have, in this parable of our Lord, recognized that he was in a spirit of desolation, he would have sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there before the Lord until at last this spirit of desolation, the spirit of fear, the spirit that robbed him of his faith, robbed him of his hope, robbed him of his charity, that joy of recognizing that God had given him a great charge in this moment. And then he would have known exactly where to invest it, exactly how to go forward, even in slight ways. So it is for you and me, whatever is going on within our lives, to not give way to the spirit of desolation and to recognize that desolation and consolation is a natural movement of the soul. We pass through these things all the time. But to make sure when we recognize that something saps us of joy, saps us of peace, saps us of faith, hope, and charity, and leaves us in darkness and confusion, that's not anywhere that God ever leads us. So if we're not being led by God, you don't make any changes. You stay where you are, wherever it was the last time you remember feeling, knowing, experiencing the real presence of God. And then when our Lord does give you that breakthrough, does restore a real divine peace from you, does give you that fire of burning charity within your soul and of his love, then you can make a decision. And when you do so, you'll end up being like those first two servants, instead of like the third servant, who went the totally wrong direction and even had what little he was given to him taken away. The Lord gives us this example not to destroy anybody, but to remind us that he wants us to be like those first two, to go and to make a profit. And the Lord desires not for us to figure it out on our own, but to wait on him to lead us through his graces of consolation in our spiritual lives. Let's put our trust in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.